الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Calls from the stream. Crown of Pearls. It is stated in the book Al-Qawl al-Badi, after the demise of Sayyiduna Abul Abbas Ahmad bin Mansur rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, someone from Shiraz saw him in a dream dressed in heavenly clothing with a crown of pearls on his head, standing in the mihrab, i.e. the arch of the main masjid of Shiraz. The dreaming person asked, "Ma fa'alallahu bika?" How did Allah Azza wa Jalla treat you? He rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi replied, "Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla, I used to recite salat upon the Rasul of Rahmah, the intercessor of Ummah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, abundantly, and this act of mine brought about my success. Allah Azza wa Jalla not only forgave me and bestowed upon me this crown, but also made me enter heaven. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad." Dear Islamic brothers, Sayyiduna Ka'b al-Ahbar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was a great Tabi'i saint. Before embracing Islam, he was a very brilliant Jewish scholar. He stated, an Israelite who had repented committed adultery with a prostitute again and then went to a stream in order to have a bath. All of a sudden, calls from the stream came, "Don't you have any shame? Had you not repented and promised that you would never do that again?" Listening to it, he got into an emotional state and ran away, crying, screaming and saying, "I would never ever disobey my beloved Allah Azza wa Jalla." Running, he reached a mountain where he found 12 men who were worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla. He also joined them. After some period of time, a drought occurred there, so the caravan of those pious bondmen departed for the city in search of food. By chance, they passed the same stream. That person trembled with fear and said, "I would not go to the stream because someone is aware of my sins, is present there, and I feel shy with him." Therefore, he stopped while the rest of the 12 men reached the stream. Once again, calls from the stream came, "O pious bondsman, where is your companion?" They replied, "He says that someone is aware of his sins, is present here, and he feels shy with him." The voice came from the stream, "Subhanallah, if a relative of yours bothers you, but then apologizes to you, feeling ashamed, and gives up his bad habit, so don't you get reconciled with him? Your companion has also repented and has started performing good deeds. Now he has got reconciled with his Lord. Bring him here, and all of you perform worship at the edge of the stream." They gave the good news to him, and all of them engaged themselves in the act of worship until that person passed away there. Upon this, calls from the stream echoed, "O pious bondsman, bathe him with my water and bury him at the edge of me, so that he will be resurrected on the day of judgment from here." They did so. At night, beside the tomb of that person, they continued to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla until they went to sleep. They had intended to depart from there in the morning. When they woke up, they saw that there were 12 straight and carrot-shaped trees around his tomb. They understood that Allah Azza wa Jalla has created those trees for them, so that they stay under their shade instead of moving to anywhere else. Therefore, they engaged themselves in worship there instead of going elsewhere. When any one of them passed away, the deceased would be buried beside the grave of the same person. At last, all of them passed away. The Israelites used to visit these tombs. May Allah Azza wa Jalla have mercy on them and forgive us without accountability for their sake. آمين بجاه النبي الأمين صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد. Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching. Dear Islamic brothers, did you see how merciful and benevolent Allah Azza wa Jalla is? When a bondsman repents sincerely, Allah Azza wa Jalla gets pleased with him. This parable also shows that Allah Azza wa Jalla watches the sinner no matter he commits the sin at a highly secret place. Furthermore, it also became obvious that the practice of visiting the tombs of pious predecessors existed even amongst the previous ummahs. Keep repenting. Dear Islamic brothers, if anyone commits a sin, he should repent of it. As a human, if he indulges in the sin again, he should repent of it again. If he commits the misdeed once again, he should repent of it once again. One should never ever be disappointed with the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. His mercy is infinite. Indeed, forgiving sins cannot cause any harm to His mercy. All we need is to keep repenting and seeking forgiveness. The Holy Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, "At-ta'ibu min al-dhanbi kaman la dhanbala," i.e. one who repents of sins is like the one who has not committed the sin at all. So we became aware that the sins of the repenting person are erased. Therefore, we should always show humbleness in the divine court and should not get disappointed with His mercy. Will only the pious enter heaven? We are mentioning divine mercy. Let me also tell you, there are some unwise people who say, one can enter heaven only by the means of good deeds. The sinner will certainly enter hell. How can one be forgiven merely by mercy? These types of thoughts are certainly satanic whispers. I am not talking about mercy on the basis of my personal opinion. Listen, in ayah number 53 of Surah Az-Zumar, Allah Azza wa Jalla said in part 24 of the Holy Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Translation taken from Kanzul Iman. Say you, O beloved, O my slaves, those who have committed excess against their own souls by committing sins, do not lose hope in Allah's mercy. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. Indeed, He only is the oft-forgiving, the most merciful. A Qudsi hadith mentions a saying of Allah Azza wa Jalla, سَبَقَتْ رَحْمَتِي غَضَبِي. My mercy dominates my wrath. A great poet and brother of Allah Hazrat Mawlana Hasan Raza Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh begs for divine mercy in his following two couplets given in his Naat collection Zawq-e Naat. سَبَقَتْ رَحْمَتِي عَلَى غَضَبِي تُونَ جَبْ سَي suna diya ya rab aasira hum gunahgaron ka aur mazboot ho gaya ya rab. Meaning, O Lord, we sinners have had even bigger hope ever since we have heard that your mercy dominates your wrath. Parable of humble bondman. Dear Islamic brothers, indeed, the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla is infinitely, immensely and immeasurably great. If He Azza wa Jalla gets pleased even with the smallest of deeds, so He bestows so many blessings and bounties upon the bondman that he cannot even imagine. It is stated in the book Kitab al-Tawwabin that Sayyiduna Ka'ab al-Ahbar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi stated that two Israelites went towards a masjid. One of them entered the masjid, but the other, overcome with divine fear, sat outside, saying, I am a sinful person. How can I be able to enter the blessed house of Allah Azza wa Jalla with my sinful body? Allah Azza wa Jalla liked his humility and recorded his name amongst the Siddiqeen. Remember that the rank of a Siddiq is greater than even a Wali and a martyr. Parable of Ashamed Bondman. Another similar parable is given on page 83 of the book Kitab al-Tawwabin. An Israelite committed a sin. Feeling extremely ashamed, he started running here and there anxiously with a wish to get his sin forgiven and to please his Lord. In the merciful court of Allah Azza wa Jalla, his anxiety and shame were accepted and he was blessed with the rank of a Siddiq, the greatest rank of wilaya. Guilt is repentance. The greatest and noblest Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam stated, "An-nadabu tawbatun," i.e. guilt is repentance. In fact, sometimes guilty feelings about sins produces such amazing results that are not produced even by the greatest act of worship. This does not also mean that one should not perform worship. All this actually depends upon the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla. At times, guilty feelings and sometimes worship lead to salvation. Psalm Observing Robber. It is stated in the book Rawdur Riyahin that Sayyiduna Shaykh Abu Bakr Shibli rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi stated, "I was going to Syria along with a caravan. On the way, a gang of robbers robbed us of all of our belongings, which they put in front of their chief. Among the looted things were also a bag of sugar and almonds. All the robbers started eating, but their chief didn't. I asked, 'All are eating, but why aren't you eating?' He replied, 'I am observing Saum.' Surprised, I asked, 'You rob people and keep Saum as well?' He replied, 'One should have something that could bring reconciliation with Allah Azza wa Jalla.'" Sayyiduna Shaykh Shibli rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi further stated, "After some period of time, I saw the same chief of robbers performing tawaf of the holy Kaaba in the state of ihram. There was brightness of worship on his face, and he had been weak because of performing great pious deeds. I asked him in surprise, 'Are you not the same person?' He replied, 'Yes, I am. Listen, the very same psalm has brought about my reconciliation with Allah Azza wa Jalla. Observe psalm every Monday.'" Dear Islamic brothers, this shows that we should not miss any good deed considering it to be small. Who knows, the very same small-looking good deed gets accepted in the divine court, bringing success to our worldly life as well as to our afterlife. This parable also shows the importance of Nafl Sawm. No doubt, not everyone is capable enough to keep Nafl Sawm in abundance, but one should at least keep a Sawm every Monday. This is a sunnah as well as the 58th Madni Inam amongst the Madni Inamat, a great set of guideline of how to become pious. By the grace of Allah Azza wa Jalla, a large number of Islamic brothers and sisters who are associated with Dawat-e-Islami act upon the sunnah of keeping Sawm on Monday, following this Madni Inam. Moreover, the serial Munajat-e-Iftar is broadcasted live every Monday on the most favorite and 100% Islamic channel, i.e. the Madni channel, run by the devotees of Rasul. The faith-refreshing scene of devotees of Rasul doing Iftar is also shown. We should also keep watching Madni channel with good intentions and motivate others to watch it, earning rich rewards. Fire worshipping family embraced Islam. Let's now listen to a Madni parable of Madni channel. Here is a summary of a piece of writing received from a handsome film actor from Bombay, Hind, whose name was Jangir. He has stated, "Our entire family were fire worshippers. It was as if the launching of Madni channel brought a message of salvation for us. My mother used to watch Madani channel very fondly. One day it occurred to me that my mother often watches the green turban wearing Maulanas very eagerly. What is the reason for it? Let me also watch and listen to them. Therefore, I also set the Madani channel and began to watch it. A Madani Muzakara was being broadcasted at the time. I liked it and kept listening attentively. The excellent advices being given on the Madani channel touched my heart, causing a revolution in it. I felt my conscience pricking me and calling out, Jangir, you are wandering on the wrong path. If you need salvation, then embrace the truthful religion of these green turban-wearing people, i.e. Islam. By the grace of Allah Azza wa Jalla, I contacted the website of Dawat-e-Islami, i.e. www.dawatislami.net, and embraced Islam. I also contacted Maktabatul Madina, the publishing department of Dawat-e-Islami. They also guided me so much. I became greatly impressed with their good manners. By the grace of Allah Azza wa Jalla, now my entire family has embraced Islam. I developed the habit of watching Madani Muzakaras till 3 a.m., broadcasted on the Madani channel. Once motivation for growing a beard was being provided. Since the very same day, I have also started growing my beard. Moreover, I am also learning Islamic beliefs, Salah, etc. with the help of the devotees of Rasul from Bombay. Madani channel laega sunnat ki ghar ghar mein bahar. Kar de mola do jahan mein nazireen ke bera paar. Madani channel will bring the blessings of sunnah to every home. May the Almighty grant success in both worlds to its viewers. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Dear Islamic brothers, let's again talk about our topic. We were mentioning the blessings of Sawm and the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla. A Sawm elevated the chief of robbers to a very great rank. By the blessing of Sawm, he was guided to the right path and was blessed with performing acts of worship and pious deeds. Reason for forgiveness. It is stated in the book Kimiya Sa'adat that Sayyiduna Shaykh Qitani Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi said, after the demise of Sayyiduna Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, I had a dream in which I saw him and asked, مَا فَعِلَ اللَّهُ بِكَ I, how did Allah Azza wa Jalla treat you? He replied, the acts of worship and pious deeds did not benefit me. However, I was forgiven by the blessing of the two raka'at tahajjud salah I used to offer having woken up from sleep at night. رَحْمَتِ حَقْ بَهَا نَا مِي جَوَيْد رَحْمَتِ حَقْ بَهَا نَا مِي جَوَيْد Translation, the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla does not seek price. He Azza wa Jalla grants mercy even for minor deeds. Dear Islamic brothers, in addition to further acts of worship, one should also develop the habit of performing nafal ones. In particular, one should never miss Salatul Tahajjud. Who knows the hardship of waking up at the time of Tahajjud gets accepted in the divine court, bringing forgiveness for us. Some Muslims will certainly enter hell. Beware, no one should misunderstand this speech on mercy. Nobody should have such thoughts, as the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla is very great. So let's now miss Far Salahs and Sawm. Let's now watch movies and dramas on the TV and internet. Let's also indulge in unlawful gazing. The mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla is very great. So let's bother our parents, swear at others, tell a lot of lies, indulge in the backbiting of Muslims, hurt their feelings and mistreat others. The mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla is immensely great. So let's shave or trim our beards less than a fist length. Let's steal things, commit robbery, oppress others, drink alcohol, play gambling games And let's even open a casino. Let's commit even those sins we have not yet committed, because the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla is very great. Dear Islamic brothers, may Allah Azza wa Jalla have mercy and grace on you and forgive you without accountability. Ameen. Be careful in case Satan makes you obey him in this way. Remember, while Allah Azza wa Jalla shows mercy and kindness, He also shows wrath and gives punishment. While He grants huge blessings, He is also absolutely self-reliant. If He punishes anyone, even for a minor sin, then the sinner will never be able to save himself in any way. Beware, beware, beware. It is confirmed that at least some Muslims will enter hell due to their sins. We should always tremble with fear, thinking about the hidden plan of Allah Azza wa Jalla, in case our name is also included in the list of those entering hell. Madani mindset of Farooq-e-Azam. The leader of the believers, Sayyidina Umar Farooq-e-Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, had a great Madani mindset. He had a unique level of hope and fear. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu stated, "If an announcer announces from the sky, all of you will enter paradise, but one person will not enter it. So I will fear that I might be that person. And if the announcer announces that all of you will enter hell, but one person will not enter it, so I will hope that I might be that person." Anyway, we should neither get disappointed with the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, nor should we get fearless from His wrath. One bullet from the gun. Let me try to explain this point to you with the help of a logical example. Let's suppose that 10,000 Islamic brothers are present in the Ijtima right now. If a terrorist standing on the roof of a nearby house threatens, "I will fire only one bullet, which will hit only one person. Others will remain safe." What do you think? Only one person will be hit with a bullet? Will the other 9,999 Islamic brothers get fearless? Never. Everyone will run away for the fear of being hit by the bullet. Hopefully, you may have got the point. Slippers of fire. When it is confirmed that at least a few Muslims will enter hell due to their sins, then why doesn't every Muslim fear in case I enter hell? By Almighty, there is no comparison at all between being hit with a bullet fired from a gun and being punished in hell. It is stated in the book Sahih Muslim that the slightest punishment in hell is that the person to be punished will be made to wear the slippers of fire which will make his brain boil like a pot. He will think that he is being given the severest punishment. It is stated in the book Sahih Bukhari that on the Day of Judgment, Allah Azza wa Jalla will say to the person being given the slightest punishment, "If you were the owner of whatever wealth etc. is in the earth, would you give it all in expiation in order to get rid of the punishment?" He will say, "Certainly." That is, "I will give everything if I am allowed to take off these slippers of fire, relieving me of this punishment in any way." Can anyone bear the slightest punishment? Dear Islamic brothers, think, ponder again and again. If anyone is given the very same slightest punishment due to any minor sin, then what will become of him? For example, if anyone swears at the other and is given this slightest punishment, what will become of him? If anyone bothers his parents and is inflicted with the same slightest punishment, how can he bear it? Remember, swearing at others and bothering one's parents are both major sins, not minor ones. Ponder about the sins committed on a daily basis. Lying, backbiting, tale-telling, earning haram sustenance, taking drugs, watching films and dramas, listening to songs and music, and watching only news being delivered by any female newscaster are all misdeeds. If anyone is given the slightest punishment as a result of any of these sins, what will become of him? How unfortunate the woman is who reads the news on the TV just for the sake of a few coins. If only she had realized that millions of men are filling their eyes with haram by unlawfully looking at me, thereby putting their eyes at risk of being filled with fire of hell, and I am myself committing a great sin by doing so. Anyway, one who is under the impression that he has kept the TV just for listening to the news should be aware that for a man to look at a non-mahram woman and for a woman to look at a non-mahram man with lust are both haram deeds leading to hell. So if anyone is given the slightest punishment in hell and is made to wear the slippers of fire due to watching and listening to the news on the TV, what will become of him? In order to have enthusiasm for reforming yourself, you should develop the mindset that if I miss congregational salah without a Sharia-approved reason and I am given the slightest punishment due to it, what will become of me? Similarly, if I have a friendly relationship with my sister-in-law or look at her deliberately, or if I do not observe Islamic veil with the wives of the brothers of my father or with my paternal and maternal non-mahram cousins, or if I look at them and talk to them laughingly, and if any of these misdeeds reaches the level of being a sin, resulting in me being made to wear the slippers of fire, so what will become of me? Remember that the sister-in-law and the aunts, etc. mentioned above are all non-mahram women. Sharia has commanded Muslim men to observe Islamic veil with these women and with every such woman whom marriage is permissible with. Women should also observe Islamic veil with all non-mahram relatives. Horrible punishment in hell. Dear Islamic brothers, at least feel fear from the slightest punishment and also remember that there are extremely severe punishments in hell. It is stated on pages 293 to 297 of the second volume of the book Bayanate At-Tariya, i.e. Discourses of At-Tar, published by Maktabatul Madina, the publishing department of Dawat-e-Islami. How odd the person is who commits sins despite knowing that hell is the place of the severest punishment. Dear Islamic brothers, if hell is opened as much as even a needle's eye, all those on earth will die of its heat. The drink that will be given to the dwellers of hell is very dangerous. If a mug of it is poured into the world, all of its crops will be destroyed, and neither any grain nor any fruit will then grow. The snakes and scorpions of hell are also very dangerous. It is stated in a hadith, in hell there will be big snakes like the necks of non-Arab camels, which will sting the hell dwellers. They will be so poisonous that if any snake stings anyone only once, he will feel severe pain for 40 years. The scorpions will be as big as rein-fastened mules. They will continue to sting the hell dwellers, and the severe pain because of being stung once will persist for 40 years. It is narrated in the book Sunan At-Tirmidhi that there is a mountain of fire in hell, namely Sa'ud, which is as high as is the distance covered in 70 years. The disbelieving hell dwellers will be made to climb it. They will reach its peak after 70 years. They will then be thrown from the top, so they will reach the bottom after 70 years. Punishment like that will continue to be given to them. Even after listening to these severe punishments of hell, if anyone does not give up sins, he is really an odd person. Man is excessively attracted to and greedy for the world. What can it give to him? Dangerous foods in hell. Those enjoying eating delicious foods should not forget the dangerous foods of hell. It is stated in the book Sunnah al-Tirmidhi that the hell dwellers will be made to suffer hunger that will be equivalent to all those punishments being given to them. They will beg and be given poisonous and thorny grass that will neither fatten up nor will relieve hunger. They will then ask for food and be given the one that will choke them. So they will recall that they used to drink water to swallow the thing that they choked on in the world. Hence they will ask for water and be given boiling water with a pair of iron-made pincers. When brought near to their mouths, it will burn their mouths. When it reaches their stomach, it will cut everything in their stomachs. Another hadith states that a drop from zakkum, i.e. a very bitter thorny tree in hell, if made to fall on the world, will rot all the eating and drinking things of the people of the world. Alas, why does man commit sins so fearlessly, despite being aware of such severe punishments in hell? Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Neither disappointment nor fearlessness. Dear Islamic brothers, tremble with divine fear and repent of your sins. We should neither get disappointed with the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, nor should we get fearless from His wrath. Both of these conditions bring destruction. Anyone disappointed with the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla will be ruined, and anyone fearlessly committing sins will also be destroyed if seized. We should not forget that Allah Azza wa Jalla has created us and has blessed us with countless favours, merely by His mercy and benevolence. These facts require that we should obey our Lord and should follow His Rasul, acting upon His Sunnah. This will bring success in our worldly life as well as in the afterlife. Kab gunahun se kinara main karunga ya Rab, nek kab e mere Allah banunga ya Rab, kab gunahun ke marz se main shifa paunga, kab main bimar madine ka banunga ya Rab, afu kar aur sada ke liye razi ho ja, gar karam kar de to jannat mein rahunga ya Rab. Translation: when will I give up sins, O Lord Azza wa Jalla? When will I become pious, O Lord Azza wa Jalla? When will I get cured of the disease of sins? When will I become a devotee to Medina, O Lord? Forgive me and get pleased with me forevermore. If you bestow your grace, I will live in Jannah, O Lord Azza wa Jalla. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Dear Islamic brothers, near the end of my speech, I would like to have the privilege of mentioning the excellence of Sunnah as well as some Sunan and manners. The Rasul of Rahmah, the intercessor of Ummah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, has said, "The one who loves my Sunnah loves me and the one who loves me will be with me in paradise. Sina teri sunnat ka madina bane aqa, jannat mein parosi mujhe tum apna banana. O my master, may my heart be full of love for your sunnah. Please make me your neighbor in Jannah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. 30 Madani pearls of visiting patience. 8 sayings of the Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Number 1. Urudul marida. Visit the patient. Number 2. Whoever visits a patient, Allah Azza wa Jalla bestows a shadow of 75,000 angels upon him. And for every step he takes, Allah Azza wa Jalla writes one virtue for him. And every step he places, Allah Azza wa Jalla removes one sin of his and elevates one rank until he sits at his place. When he sits, so mercy covers him and will continue to cover him until he returns to his home. Number 3. Whoever visits a patient, it is announced from the sky, good news is for you. Your visiting is good and you have made a place for yourself in paradise. Number 4. If a Muslim visits a sick Muslim in the morning, 70,000 angels pray for his forgiveness till the evening. And if he visits in the evening, 70,000 angels pray for his forgiveness till the morning. And for him there will be a garden in paradise. Number 5. The one who makes proper wudu and visits his sick Muslim brother with the intention of receiving reward will be moved away from hell equal to the distance of 70 years. Number 6. When you visit a patient, ask him to pray for you, as his prayer is like the prayer of angels. Number 7. The prayer of a patient is not rejected till he recovers. Number 8. When a Muslim visits a sick Muslim, he should recite the following prayer 7 times. أَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمَ رَبَّ الْعَرْشِ الْكَرِيمِ أَنْ يَشْفِيكَ. If death has not come, he will be cured. Number 9. Visiting a sick person is a sunnah. If you feel that your visit would be inconvenient for the patient, then do not visit him. Number 10. Even if you have strained relations with the patient or you do not like him, you should still visit him. Number 11. Visit the patient purely with the intention of following the blessed sunnah. If anyone visits a patient merely for the reason that he will also visit me when I fall ill, then no reward will be granted. Number 12. If you visit a patient and notice his severe illness, do not talk to him in such a way that he feels fear. Example, you are in a critical condition, nor should the visitor shake his head in such a way that it indicates the patient is in a serious condition. Number 13. At the time of visiting, show distress and sorrow from your facial expressions in front of an ailing or a grieved person. Number 14. Never talk in such a way that the patient or his attendant has the satanic whisper that you are happy about his problem. Number 15. Express your sympathy with the patient's family members as well and offer all possible assistance and cooperation. Number 16. Get close to the patient and inquire about him and pray for his recovery and well-being. Number 17. The Prophet of Rahmah, the intercessor of Ummah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, had a blessed and beautiful habit. Whenever he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam visited any patient, he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would recite La ba'sa tahurun insha'Allah. Number 18. Ask the patient to make dua for you, as the patient's dua is not rejected. Number 19. The revered and renowned Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, proper way of visiting the sick is that you place your hand on his forehead and ask him how he is. A renowned commentator, a great thinker of Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, has written in the commentary of this blessed hadith, when anyone visits a patient, he should place his hand on the patient's forehead and say, "How are you?" This comforts the patient and shows affection, but you should avoid placing your hand for a long time. Number 20. A polite and pleasant conversation should be made with the patient to please him. Mention the excellence of illness and talk about the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, so that he may focus his attention on the reward of the hereafter and avoid complaining of his grief due to impatience. Number 21. Whilst visiting the patient, convey the call to righteousness to him on the appropriate occasion. In particular, motivate him to offer salah regularly, because during illness, even the salah offering people become heedless of salah. Number 22. Motivate the patient to watch Madani channel and tell him about its blessings. Number 23. Motivate the patient to travel in the Madani qafila. If he is unable to travel, then motivate any of his family members to travel in a Madani qafila on his behalf. Tell him about the Madani blessings of the Madani qafila, mentioning that sometimes patients are miraculously cured by virtue of the dua made during the Madani qafila. Number 24. Do not stay along with the patient nor make a noise. However, if the patient wants you to spend more time with him, then you may, if possible, respecting his wish. Number 25. Some people are habitual of prescribing medicine to the patients and to their attendants. Some even insist that the patient follow their prescribed treatment, i.e. take a certain medicine and you will be cured. The patient should not follow these treatments prescribed by any ordinary person. The saying goes, little knowledge is dangerous. Instead, consult your doctor before using the medicine prescribed by anybody. Beware those who are not doctors, but even then are habitual of prescribing medicine, should avoid it. Number 26. Presenting a gift to the patient whilst visiting him is something good. However, avoiding the visit because of having nothing to present and thinking that they will mind if you visit the patient empty-handed is not good. One should visit the patient even if he has nothing to present. Avoiding the visit for this reason deprives one of the rewards. Number 27. If you intend to take biscuits, fruits and gifts, etc. with you to give to the patient, it is suggested that you also give some booklets published by Maktabatul Madina to the patient, so that he will give them to visitors, and if he is admitted in hospital, he may give them to his neighboring patients and their relatives. How nice it will be if the patient himself sends someone to purchase booklets and earns reward by keeping them for this purpose. Number 28. Visiting a fasiq, a transgressor, is permissible because it is an Islamic right of every Muslim, and a transgressor is also a Muslim. Number 29. It is impermissible to pay condolences to a murtad, an apostate, and a harbi disbeliever. Presently, all disbelievers are harbi in the world. Number 30. It is not allowed to pay condolences to a heretic, one with corrupt beliefs. In order to learn thousands of sunan, by the following two publications of Maktabatul Madina. Number 1, Bahari Shariat, volume 16, the 312-page publication, and secondly, Sunnate or Adab, the 120-page publication. One of the excellent ways of learning Sunnah is to travel in the Madani qafilas of Dawat-e-Islami with the devotees of the beloved Rasul. Lootane rahmate qafile mein chalo, سیکھنے سنتیں قافلے میں چلو، ہوں گی حل مشکلیں قافلے میں چلو، ختم ہوں شامتیں قافلے میں چلو. To gain mercies, travel with the Madini Qafilas. To learn Sunan, travel with the Madini Qafilas. To solve your problems, travel with Madini Qafilas. To remove difficulties, travel with Madini Qafilas. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Spend the whole night in the weekly Sunnah inspiring Ijtima of Dawat Islami held every Thursday at approximately 8 o'clock in your city for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla with good intentions. In order to learn Sunnahs, make it your routine to travel with a 3-day Madini Qafila every month with the devotees of Rasul and to fill out the Madini Inamad booklet every day practicing Fikr-e Madina and to submit it to the relevant responsible Islamic brother of your locality on the first date of every Madini month. I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world. InshaAllah Azza wa Jalla. In order to reform ourselves, we must act upon the Madini In'amat and to strive to reform the people of the entire world, we must travel with the Madini Qafilas. InshaAllah Azza wa Jalla. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد.